the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers, so we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Hey everyone, here at Youth Worker Community, one of our long-term friends have been Rocky Mountain College. We have loved our partnership with them in so many ways, both with the events that we run on a yearly basis, but also with our school, the Coalition. Sid, why don't you fill people in, for those that don't understand or know what Rocky's up to, because they're pretty unique in how they deliver education these days, eh?
Dude, they're so fascinating. Like, Jared, do you remember when Robert first started showing up at our conferences like so many years ago, and he was just a beauty, and they were trying to think about new ways to help do education with people that were on the ground in ministry. And they really, in some ways, were right out in front of being pretty innovative with it. So a lot of their classes are online. They're digital. You can access them digitally. Some of their classes you can create, you can come together in a cohort and access their digital classes that way as well. Sometimes they'll send a prof into a space. But there are lots of innovative ways to get an education through Rocky. With us, we've partnered with them with the Coalition. We're super thankful for that, where they give credit for the 2 years of Coalition you take with us, and then you finish off your bachelor, your BA in youth ministry leadership with Rocky through their classes that are on their online platform. And it's fantastic. Now, what's super cool, Jer, is if you're a youth pastor or a youth worker, a volunteer, let's say, and you're trying to go, man, I really want to help my kids engage the scriptures more. I'd like to do a little bit of deeper learning in terms of engaging the scriptures. Rocky has this great class, an intro to Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Jer, right? And you can access that for free. And you could even do it, like if I was a senior high small group leader, I might say, hey, you guys, why don't we do this class together as just a way of like growing our love for Jesus and the Word? And you could even get some credit for it. How cool would that be? But it would be a really neat study space for you if the curriculum's put together. It's put together really well. And we're just super thankful for Rocky and kind of the innovative ways they're doing biblically based education with youth workers. We're super thankful for them. You should check them out.
You should check out that course. I completely forgot about that. Yeah, that is a wonderful thing. It's in the show notes and a great way.
And they offered for free. Like, this is Rocky is so serious about raising up the next generation of followers of Jesus. Like, they're just really trying to remove any barriers. And I love that about them.
I love it. Check them out. All right, Sid, how do you communicate with your students in between gatherings? This is a big question. We've got to tell people why we're asking it, because there's some people who are like, I didn't sign up to communicate with students in between gatherings. I signed up to come to students. Yeah.
Okay. Jared.
It's important, though.
It's huge important. Here's one of the things I think sometimes we miss just a little bit. If for you, those of us who have volunteered, like in children's ministry, do you know what I mean? Hey, I'm signing up for Sunday morning. I can come there. I can help manage a classroom. It's going to be great. And in children's ministry, your best volunteer work as a volunteer is to help run the program and do some good Bible teaching for kids and enjoy and care for them. But their relational needs are met primarily through like their parents and other like related older relatives. And it would be really weird for you as a children's ministry volunteer to start taking children out?
Depending on their age, but yeah, like it is, it's a different category. Like, you know, I've got a kindergarten kid. And so I know his small group leader at church isn't inviting all of the kindergarten kids to come hang out with him. Yeah, that would be a little bit odd. Yeah.
But we know, like, you know, if you've done children's ministry, you're committed to the program moment. That's great. You should. And it's really, really huge. In youth ministry, especially middle school up, because of like adolescent development, those sorts of things, we know that your impact in a kid's life in program moments is very, very significant. And if that's all you could give is those 2 hours a week, please, really huge. But what we sometimes forget is when we connect with a young person outside of program moments, it's almost like a 10X is the experience. And partly what it does is it says to a kid who's starting to ask real relational questions, do you like me? Like, do I fit with you? You know, do I matter to you? Those kind of core identity type questions, experience in the context of relationship with great power when it's connected to an older person. Basically what happens, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say it's interesting because our goal as youth workers isn't to create healthy relationships with students. Our goal is to lead them in a growing relationship with Christ, to introduce them to the Savior that's going to, you know. And so the point, though, is that oftentimes we become, and we see this in the New Testament as well, but we become a proxy for their experience of Christ, their experience of Jesus. And so before, often for unchurched kids, before they're willing to look and have a personal relationship with Christ, they want to know, do I actually fit in this environment as a part? Can I become a part of this community that seems to value and affirm Jesus as their Lord and Savior?
And Jared, not only in the community, but with the people, like when an older person that's representing faith in your life begins to care for you, like it is shaping for you. It is powerfully shaping for you. And hey, even outside of faith-based environments, kids are looking to someone to help have a bit of a prophetic voice in their life, shaping direction, sense of self, meeting the deep need for belonging. So here's the point we want to make. Connections outside of program moments are profound and powerful, more so than what you think. And for a young person, they say to a kid, you're more than just a program to me. You're a human being that I care for. So then the question becomes, like, can we do this? And Jerry, here's what's really interesting. When I first started youth pastoring in Canmore, right after we finished our time at Briarcrest, I knew how powerful it was to connect with kids outside of program moments. Most of my volunteer youth workers were actually parents, and they didn't have a lot of time to connect with kids outside of program moments. So back in those days, I said, man, could you connect with one kid for 30 minutes per month outside of a program moment? And we gave all sorts of different ways to do it. There's levels to this, and there's appropriate levels to it. And your child protection policies have lots of like guardrails for connecting with kids outside of program moments. Here's what I want to say. Easy access, first level. Connection with a kid outside of program moment. If you're a volunteer youth worker and your child protection policies in your youth ministry allow for this, so you should be checking with your point leaders, simple text messages to kids outside of program moments can have more profound impact than you think. I really believe this, Jer.
So there's a flag already up into some people's minds because they're like, oh, I can't text kids. So let's give them some ideas on how they can communicate with students in between gatherings. And so when you say texting, do you mean that I'm exchanging my personal cell phone number with the cell phone number of a student, or are there other ways around this?
Okay, so Jared, this is really great. So there's lots of ways around it. And again, what I want to say is there's a lot of guardrails that you should be in place for this to be a healthy experience and one that's appropriately acceptable. So number one, again, before you start texting with kids, you should be checking with the point leader in your ministry. Hey, do we have policy around this? What's appropriate, et cetera, et cetera. Number two, probably there should be information given to parents, whether it's part of, you know, what your ministry does to all parents when their kids sign up and register, but there should be some kind of information given to parents that give a little bit of awareness of how kids will be connected with. We invite kids to youth group via cell numbers, whether it's to parents or to you or, you know, that kind of thing. So there should be something that's there that way. And then like number three, as a ministry, there should be some common sense guidelines around connecting with kids digitally. So let me give that first, Jared, and then we'll talk about the different ways that we could do this platforms, if that makes sense. So number one, if I was a point leader, I would ask my leaders, if we're connecting with kids digitally, it has to be on a platform where you always have a copy of that interaction. So not like off Snapchat where something can be erased or disappears, if you will, but there should always be a copy. That's the first thing I'm thinking about. Like, can you track the interaction? So we always have that. The second thing I'm asking for is it's always best in groups rather than one-on-one. So, you know, that's a very practical ministry principle. It's always better if we can do it with a few of us rather than just one-to-one. That's really, really helpful. I would encourage that. And then number three, there's different types of like platforms ministries might use, whether it's like, you know, Instagram direct messaging, whether it's texting, iMessage, whether it's WhatsApp, like, so that you know.
Well, I'm going to put a few in the group here, because I know for some of you, you're like, oh, I think for legal reasons, you know, we can't, or, you know, I'm not comfortable with kids having my personal cell phone number. And so, yeah, we've mentioned a few. GroupMe is another one. WhatsApp, I think you mentioned, Discord, Messenger from Facebook. All of these give you options to do kind of group messaging and do it for free, and it puts it in a box so that it's really clear. You're not giving out your number. You don't have students' numbers, but this is how we can communicate as a group.
And then the other thing for me that's really big, Jer, is there should never be late night messaging with kids in your youth ministry. Like, it's just not an option. And if there is a true emergency, if I was to get a message from a kid in the middle of the night, it was a true emergency, I would immediately invite in someone else to that conversation. Like, just immediately. So I'd be like texting the youth pastor or phoning saying, hey, I'm having this interaction. I need you to be just in on this. Let's do awareness. Or, you know, for sure I'd get other eyes on real quick. Yep. So those are some like protecting principles. Now, let me just, Jer, I want to quickly say why I think this is valuable. Hey, when we like just do a quick text to a kid, I'm using the word text, okay? Let's just say any kind of messaging on any kind of digital platform. And we say to a group of kids, hey, you guys, I'm praying for you today. Or we send an appropriate meme or piece of humor that's like appropriate within like the guidelines that we live within as kingdom people, et cetera, et cetera. Or we just send, hey, I'm in this space right now thinking about you people. When we do quick messages like that, the word for it is like phatic communication. And what it means is that even though it's a small form of communication, it carries extra social or relational weight to it. Because what we do is when we do that to someone, we say, hey, I'm thinking about you. You have space in my mind. You're a part of our community. We have this shared humor or way of being together. And it carries so much more weight than what we realize in those moments as far as like social or relational experience, shared experience, invitation, belonging. And so I just want to say, like, I think that's huge. And then when we add, I just want to say it's huge. But here's the other part. So we do like social connections, but when we do like follow-up from youth group, faith-based follow-up even, so a quick, like I would love to say 2 days after youth or the day after, go, hey, any insights, you guys, on what we talked about in small group today? Let's post them in this, you know, in our chat here. Something like that, again, now really connects faith formation to that social belonging, which, again, it's part of how we're wired as followers of Christ, made in the image of the Trinity, et cetera, et cetera. So when we're doing that work, I really believe, Jer, we're doing good kingdom work, and it is profound and powerful. So here's what I want to say. In all of the boundaries, all of, like, our child protection policies, if we can fire off a couple of, like, sentences, you know, outside program moments that connect with our community of students, even if it connects, you know, the conversations or faith of our shared experience as a group in that space, it will have a powerful effect on those kids, greater than you think. And it makes them feel like they belong, which also makes them want to continue to belong and brings them back in as well. So I don't want to belittle it. I think it's important. And if we just lean that way, I think we could see a real change in the way that we build trust with our students and the opportunity to continue to influence them for the sake of the kingdom and for Christ's work in their life. I think it's powerful. I think we should lean that way.
Okay, I'm going to give you a big recap, Sid. So for everybody listening, this is recapping everything Sid just said, and then you tell me if I missed anything. So how do you communicate with your students in between gatherings? You communicate with them appropriately. And so if you're doing it appropriately, then you're thinking about a group platform. So you're thinking about GroupMe, WhatsApp, Discord, Messenger. Those links are in the show notes. Or another group setting that works for your group. And then you're thinking about a phatic, which I had to Google, and it gets you to spell for me. So it's phatic, phatic expression, which builds the rapport with your group. So it's a small little bit. And you offered three ideas for us. You said, and I'm praying for you, for the group specifically. Brilliant. I'm thinking of you guys, so I'm praying for you in this moment. That's number one. An appropriate meme or a piece of humor, you know, something that you saw you want to share with the group. That's number two. Or a third thing could be some type of follow-up from the group before. Hey, you remember how we were talking about, you know, how difficult it is to remember when to, you know, read your Bible. I was just reading today and I thought about you guys, whatever it is. Follow-up reminds them about the part of the program and the group. That's kind of the idea here, communicating with your students. High value, even though it's a low time commitment, it's very intentional. Anything you want to change or add?
No, I love it. You nailed it.
Do it. All right, youth workers listening, why don't you take a moment, make a phatic expression to your students. I don't know if I used that right, but it'll work either way. And if you need some help figuring out how to get into this, send us a note. We keep our contact info in the show notes. We'll walk you through how to make it work. Hey everyone, we want to tell you a little bit about the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, this organization that's been invested in people coming to Christ all around the world for decades. Obviously, the legacy of Billy Graham is so strong. And one of the things that we love about what they're doing these days is they're finding new ways in our new reality to communicate Jesus around the world. So Sid, one of the things that we've heard from them is that they've got this ministry now connecting through the internet to people all around the world, and that they've actually been at our events inviting some of even youth workers to come and be a part of it in a really cool way, like from a volunteer perspective, eh?
Yeah, so you come and you know, I think you access that at searchforjesus.net, if I'm not mistaken, and yep. Then you're equipped to be able to answer the good questions, the hard questions that people are asking about faith. And so I think it's just like, hey, listen, the mission is really clear. They've been doing it for decades, so we know who they are. And not only have they been doing it for decades, but they love the next generation very, very much. They're serious about seeing faith passed on to the next generation, which obviously resonates with us. And so you should check them out. They're doing really wonderful work, and we love them as our partner. We just think it's fantastic.
We do. And it's really cool. If you check, even just to bring your students to the website, just to see what God's doing around the world is helpful, because sometimes our students are thinking like Jesus is kind of a regional thing. He's not. Turns out he's actually around the world. And it looks like somebody just came to Christ in Mexico on the website. They have a little like real-time decision thing happening there. So I don't know. It's a cool thing happening, and you can be a part of it. You can watch it. You can just celebrate it. But whatever you want to do, make sure you check out the Billy Graham Association. We love what they're doing.